The scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. The joy of generous giving. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, and not regretfully or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. The word of God for the people of God. This morning's gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ.
There is a well-known old story about a chicken and a pig on a country farm. One day, it was the day before their owner, farmer's birthday. So the chicken and the pig were having a conversation. The chicken says, tomorrow is our farmer's birthday. What can we do for him? I have an idea. How about a delicious breakfast? Let's make ham and eggs. After a pause, the pig replies, hey, it's easy for you to say. You just make a donation of your eggs. But for me, to make ham is a total life sacrifice. Even though this story might be a just funny parable, its lesson is amazingly crucial. If we are to be followers of Jesus seriously and faithfully, then we must realize that we are to become the pig, not the chicken. Your lifetime commitment to God is serious and challenging, yet meaningful and worthy. Yes, we are called to be a living sacrifice for God and for others. Apostle Paul urges all believers in Romans, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. The author Mike Slaughter, who is a UMC pastor, now retired, once said, quote, loving God is an intentional commitment to self-sacrifice for the well-being of, unquote. Stewardship is, simply put, a way of life of loving God first. Yes, we can love God through the means of grace, such as worship, service, prayer, witness, and living a life of giving. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, once said this, and I am sure many of you are already familiar with this: earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. This was the three basic points of his sermon entitled The Use of Money on the topic of stewardship, preached in 1789. Today is Stewardship Sunday. I'd like to share with you three important insights on stewardship. Number one, generosity is God's design for wealth, and your generosity shows your thanksgiving to God. God is a God of abundance. God is a generous God, and God desires us to be generous too. Just as verse 7 from 2 Corinthians text, God loves a cheerful giver. However, it is always us, the people, to complain about our lack of resources and having not enough, whatever it is. Well, it is true that so many people, not only in the U.S., but also across the world, are living in scarcity or poverty rather than abundance or enough. Even in this richest country, probably 99% of the people might suffer from some type of lack of money or resources often, if not every day. Amid these hard, anxious, and harsh times, why is our giving through our tithings, offerings, and other donations to God important? Why? Because God giving is the nature of God. Our God is a God who gives and gives again and again. Our giving to God, after all, becomes God's instrument and God's ways to love people. Have you heard about this expression? Quote, God owes us nothing, yet gives us everything, unquote. I'm sure you are familiar with John 3:16, and many of you memorize this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. God is a life-giving God, and God has given us everything we are and everything we have so that we can sustain our lives with purpose, meaning, and joy. And throughout the Bible, we can realize that God expects his people to respond by loving and giving. Our God expects you to be that way by giving cheerfully and generously, not giving whatever at your convenience. Remember, your genuine and unwavering faith in God is your commitment, not convenience. Yes, generosity is evidence of a Spirit's work in your life. Therefore, your generosity shows your thanksgiving to God. Number two, we are called to serve as God's hands, feet, and voice in God's abundant grace and provision. So true. A couple of Sundays ago, I shared with you this verse, Jesus saying, truly I tell you, just as you did it to me, you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Yes, being the hands and feet and voice of Jesus, we are called to feed the hungry, to take water to those who are thirsty, and to share God's word with those who need to hear it. Remember the gospel miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men. Well, it must be around 20,000 people, including women and children. Jesus preached to this huge, large crowd, and then after some time, people became hungry. Those concerned disciples came to Jesus saying, if I may paraphrase it, Master Jesus, we have a big problem. We are in the middle of nowhere. With so many people, there is no Costco, no McDonald's, no Pizza Hut, or even no 7-Eleven stores. There's nothing in this remote place. How can we feed this multitude of hungry people? Should we send them home? What should we do? Then what did Jesus say? What did Jesus reply exactly? He said, you give them something to eat. I love what he says. You give them something to eat. From this miracle account, I believe this is one of the most fascinating commands from Jesus. You give them something to eat. When the disciples didn't know what to do next, Jesus asked them to take an inventory of food among the people. Mark 6:38 says, and he said to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. So, long story short, with these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus fed the multitude of people out there. What an amazing miracle of God's abundance. One thing here to pay attention. When you give your best to God, God gives it back to you and with more and more. My friends in Christ, this is never a magic formula, some kind of a sales pitch of a mega church fundraising, or an enticing gimmick of a cult religion. No, no, no. But this is an awesome biblical principle of God's abundance and generosity. Trust me, I am one of the many believers who witness God's amazing miracles of abundance and generosity all the time. Yes, we are God's hand, God's feet, and God's voice in God's abundant grace and provision. Yes, we embody God's heart of love and compassion. After all, we are indeed the body of Christ, and we are agent of God's amazing grace. Number 3, our giving as an act of worship should never be sporadic or unprepared. Yes, your act of giving is an act of worship. Do not just toss your leftovers into God's offering plate. Do not wait until you are feeling extra generous or being extra nice. Again, remember your commitment. Giving to God should not be your convenience. Plan your giving to God ahead of time and make it a priority in your life. That's why our natural annual stewardship effort and invitation to make commitment are so crucial and meaningful for our community of faith and love. Let us always remember Apostle Paul's proclamation from 2 Corinthians 9:6. Let us all read this together. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So true. We are experiencing this truth all the time. I believe one of the best stewardship resource books is Shiny Gut, Finding Freedom from Things That Distract Us, written by the UMC pastor Mike Slaughter. I mentioned him before. In the book, the author introduces the 10-10-80 rule or plan. It is totally up to you to decide whether you adopt this or not. You can modify it. You can customize it. It is totally up to you. But the author, along with many other stewardship consultants, highly recommends all faithful believers and disciples of Christ to follow this 10-10-80 plan in terms of giving to God faithfully. The 10-10-80 plan. The first 10% of everything that comes into your hand, you give to God as an expression of faith and gratitude. We call this a tithe. The word tithe already means 10%. The second 10% you pay to and for yourself in the form of saving for the future. The remaining 80% is what you live on. Your own plan could be different. That's fine. The key here is to live below our means as God's people of faith, humility, and modesty. We need to live more simply so that we are ready for the future, no matter what future holds. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure all of you have received a letter from Mary Herman, our church's stewardship chairperson. Thanks to Mary for having written an inspiring stewardship letter to the church family. If you have not received the letter, please inform the office of your information, such as your mailing address, your phone number, etc. And October 26th will be our commitment Sunday. Traditionally, it has been also observed as consecration and celebration Sunday. It will be 2 weeks from today. On that Sunday, we will be presenting ourselves to God, along with our 2026 commitment cards. Your commitment card, along with everyone else, and we will be consecrated by God's blessings. Your cards are very important, very much needed for our 2026 budget. So please pray thoughtfully before you fill out that card. We have some extra copies of this commitment card in the narthex if you need one. And if you have any question about stewardship, money, talent, or anything else related to your faith journey, please contact me. I'll be happy to talk with you. Here is the remaining October calendar. Today is a stewardship Sunday. I will be gone this week for my vacation, so don't call me for a week. And I'll be back in the office on Monday, October 20th. So there will be another whole week to contact me before the commitment Sunday, October 26th. My friends in Christ, God is good all the time. All the time. Very good. Very good. It's been a while, right? We should do often. Remember, God has given you everything in your life. Think about it. God has given you everything. Now, it is your turn to express your gratitude to God for everything in your life. I'd like to conclude my sermon with Matthew 6:33, which is one of the most famous and important Bible verses for our life. It's none other than Jesus' encouraging and uplifting words for all of us who follow Jesus. Please join me in reading this verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the word of Jesus invites us to the way to a journey of hope in Christ throughout the rest of our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.